This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Horace said he's the snitch. Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch, to see a guy, a leader, to go at guys like that. I understand in terms of practicing you have to push and shove here and there, but outright punching and things of that nature and calling them B's and H's, that wasn't called for.
1340 WKG.
What are H's?
I'd imagine hose.
Hose?
Yeah, like for yard work.
Why would he call his teammates hose?
That's an insult people use.
It is?
Yeah.
Men to other men?
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you that. You a hoe.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
We got the divisional round announcer assignments. You
okay.
Know who you got?
So we are. Where are we? What channel are we on?
We're CBS.
We're on CBS.
We're
is CBS, this CBS and Fox this week, or NBC get a game?
Yeah, NBC has one, Fox has one, CBS has two.
That's right.
Fox is.
Oh, we got Ian Eagle and Charles Davis.
I assume that's what we got.
Yeah,
that
we
is did. Who I you have.
Already. Yeah.
And then what, Romo and an old Nant. Jimmy Boy are our Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, obviously. Aikman. What's the Fox game? What's the Fox and what's the NBC game?
The Fox Saturday night is Joe Buck, Troy Aikman.
Okay, so Fox is NBC, or Fox is Saturday night.
Andrews and Rinaldi.
NBC is Saturday
the
night.
NBC 3 p.m. game is Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya, Catherine Tappan. And then, yeah, Nance, Romo, Tracy Wolfson and Jay Feely are on that CBS night game Sunday night.
Okay.
You a Romo guy?
I think Romo is good at big moments. Like, I thought Romo was really good in the Cowboys game. I mean,
I watched Nickelodeon, so I guess I wouldn't know. But
Romo's gotten on my nerves some this year.
Mm-hmm. I really don't like Tony Romo. He drives me crazy.
Okay.
And the attention he gets drives me crazy. He'll be like, all right, Jim, it's 3rd and 9 here. I 2-minute drill. I expect them to pass the ball here and look for them to try to throw it past the sticks. And then, you know, they'll throw a 15-yard out route. And everyone will be like, oh, my God, Tony Romo is a football genius. Look at him calling these plays. No, he did. Come on. It's just situational. They're out of those four crews. That's my least favorite crew. I like Charles Davis and Ian Eagle best. And then Joe Buck and Troy Aikman second best.
Okay. Troy's getting a little grumpy. He was
pissed.
He stopped one leg short of saying Jalen Hurts should be like cut out of the league. He's basically like, you can't miss that throw. You can't miss this.
Yeah,
he's basically like, this is just something you can't do at this level. Like, he was one step short of like, how's this guy even in the league?
Like, he was pissed that he didn't get that he had to call that game. He was just like, he like went on that weird like minute talk where he was just like, a lot of people out there would love to be calling that game. You know, I know I would have liked to call that game.
Yeah, I think he was mad he got big boyed by CBS.
Ooh, you hate to see it.
Which CBS, apparently, I think I read that CBS paid $80 million just for that game.
Mm-hmm. They got 50 million viewers.
Wow.
It probably worked out, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, yeah, like, when you talk about the TV deals, like, the TV, like, big, you know, package and all that stuff, like, that was $80 million just for that one game. We've got some news from our neighbors to the north. Ontario.
Oh, not Kentucky?
No. Our big neighbors to the north.
Okay.
When you hear neighbors to the north, do you think Canada or Kentucky?
I hear Canada.
Okay.
I thought Canada as well.
Okay. Ontario is an easing COVID-19 restrictions and will allow arena capacity to increase to 500 fans at the end of the month.
Woo!
500 fans.
That's crazy.
We did it. We beat it.
So interesting just the differences in places that are just close to each other or even in the same country.
Oh, yeah. You know, every state's doing stuff different here pretty much, so it's weird. It's weird all around. The Chiefs linebacker, Willie Gay Jr., was arrested Wednesday night for a misdemeanor criminal damage. Nothing serious. It's supposed to be resolved in the next day or so he should be fine as far as playing.
It's better than the last arrest they had during the playoffs.
That is very true.
What was the last arrest they had during the playoffs?
Andy Reid's son.
Yeah.
Oh, when he almost
killed that girl.
That.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
Willie Gay basically broke a few items at his children's mother's home, including a vacuum, I think a wall and a door frame. So he basically just has to pay to fix that stuff.
Broke the baby mama's Dyson.
Nobody, yeah, exactly. Nobody was harmed in the situation or the, you know, argument or whatever went down there. But, yep, he has to pay. And I would be a little annoyed if your baby mama was calling the cops because you broke the vacuum and now you get arrested for breaking the vacuum. It's like, I could have ran to Walmart, got you a new one, but whatever. We go through the hoops, but.
Nets guard, Kyrie Irving, back in the news. As he was fined $25,000, which, I mean, he might need this money, actually, since he ain't playing home games.
Yeah.
Fined $25,000 for directing obscene language towards a fan this coming on January 17th when the Brooklyn Nets played in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. Did you see this exchange?
I did not.
I felt bad for Kyrie, basically. Kyrie's getting heckled by the Cavs fans, you know, that are sitting courtside. And I thought Kyrie actually had a mic drop moment. He's like, man, I won you guys a damn championship, and I still don't get any respects.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you're still going to, like, sit here and try to heckle me after what I brought you? To which then the fan was just like, well, only one. Only one.
Shut up, Cleveland. Know your place.
Cleveland should be worshiping Kyrie. He did bring them a championship. And, yes, I know it was LeBron, but Kyrie was right there too, man.
He
like,
was a big part of it.
Look at the Game 5 stat sheet. It was him and LeBron both scoring 41 points.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the end of Game 7, that three-pointer right in Steph's face. That was Kyrie that hit that. Show a little respect.
People these days.
Mm. But Kyrie fined $25,000.
Hate to see it. Speaking of NBA, I don't think we mentioned it yesterday. Bol Bol actually got traded this time.
Okay.
The Celtics have acquired Bol Bol and PJ Dozier from the Denver Nuggets while sending Juancho Hernan Gomez to the San Antonio Spurs, who also sent Brian Forbes to the Nuggets in a three-team trade. Yeah, I don't know how much this does for any of those teams. I know Forbes had some shooting to the Nuggets.
Just moves around.
Bol Bol's just around.
Is Taco Fall, is he still on like a two-way with the Celtics? Is he ever on their active roster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's made any appearances.
I mean, quite honestly, I just have not kept up with it enough
year.
To know. Because if we can potentially get a lineup at some point, whether it's just like garbage time or something, that contains Taco Fall and Bol Bol, will make this trade worth it.
He's not with the Celtics anymore. He's with the Cavs.
Well, that's disappointing.
And he's mostly with their G League team.
Mm. We need to get Taco Fall back on the Celtics ASAP so we can see those two on the court together.
Dream's dead.
Throw like the Time Lord out there too and really make it weird.
That's what the Cavs basically try to do. Not with Bol Bol, or not with Taco Fall because he sucks, but they just play three big men. Maybe that's the...
Everyone's going small. You got to go big.
Just go super big.
As long as that pick and roll doesn't kill you.
Bulls guard Lonzo Ball, diagnosed with a small meniscus tear in knee. He joins Zach LaVine, who's already injured for the Bulls. So the Bulls trying to stay afloat, off to a great start. At this point, I don't even guess it's a start anymore. We're basically halfway through the year. The Bulls sit atop the Eastern Conference, tied with the Miami Heat, and now trying to decide what to do with Lonzo Ball and his knee issue.
Yeah, they've had injuries, and obviously COVID stuff hasn't helped either as far as keeping your roster healthy. So
that was a good call by you, Cam.
Thank you.
Lost four of their last five. They had lost four in a row before finally beating the Cavs last night, but that was a good call by you. I did not see it with that Bulls team. Granted, I didn't see DeMar DeRozan –
being the best Bulls player since Michael Jordan. But
he's been insanely good for them.
I feel like he's been better than Derrick Rose was at his apex. Like I know Derrick Rose won an MVP, but held the Rose, and I feel like he's been just as good. Did not see that coming, but yeah, the Bulls, the one seed. I don't buy them as a legitimate contender, but now they're dealing with some injuries.
Mm. Well, Kendall Briles has agreed to a new deal to remain as Arkansas's offensive coordinator after being pursued for the same job at Miami.
Yeah, I saw where Miami was trying to get him, and I'm assuming he got a pretty big raise to stay at Arkansas.
Yeah, they don't mention it, the actual number, in this article, but he is getting his quarterback back this upcoming year, and, you know, they had some good success at times with Arkansas on offense, so... big time for Arkansas to be able to hold on to him. But, yep, Miami tried to poach him, but he is staying put. He will not leave.
Are we surprised that Miami couldn't poach him? Apparently Miami's now looking at, I think, like trying to hire Toledo's head coach to be their offensive coordinator.
Wow.
Which what gives you a better chance to being a big time Power Five head coach, like being Miami's offensive coordinator with head coaching experience, or just being Toledo's head coach?
I'd say Miami's offensive coordinator a little bit.
I would
if
say
you're good.
Toledo's head coach.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe maybe other Power Five or maybe other Group of Five schools, Miami, but specifically Toledo, a program that's had some success and a program that competes in the MAC. I would say if you can win there a couple years in a row, you have a better chance of becoming a Power Five head coach than Miami's OC.
So that's why I kind of leave Miami, because it's like, okay, if you had success, Toledo as a head coach, then you go to Miami and also have success with an offense at the Power 5 level, it makes you a little more appealing, because they were like, oh, he can have success at the Power 5 level, and we already know he can coach. Let's let him make that jump, too, you know. Kind of combine the two a little bit there.
Maybe, they could almost double his salary.
Yeah, exactly.
Miami to bring him as a coordinator, so maybe it just makes more sense just to be there and be a coordinator. I think I'd rather just be a high-paid coordinator. That seems way more fun.
Way less pressure, almost, it seems like.
I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think there's a path either way.
Absolutely.
But, with Miami, you are getting to go against what is a weak ACC right now, especially in terms of defense, and you do inherit freshman quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke is his name?
Yeah, he's pretty solid.
Who people are absolutely in love with, enamored with, think could be an NFL first-round guy, got off to an incredible start as a freshman. So, if you get to inherit that against shoddy ACC defense, maybe that is a better path.
Let's catch a break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Cam, we haven't talked a lot of hoops, but man, last night had some big time performances.
Oh yeah,
Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, both those guys just kind of going head to head without even playing each other.
And don't forget Mo Bamba too, putting up 28 in the first half.
Put up 28 in the first half, finished the
four,
game
four in the second half,
finished the game with 32.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, the guy he's guarding scored 50 points and had 12 rebounds as the Sixers beat down the Magic in the second half.
Bamba 7 of 8 from 3, though.
Again, in the first half. And still only finished with 32 points. But Embiid had 50 points, 12 rebounds. Then on ESPN in the night game, the nightcap, the doubleheader, you saw Nikola Jokic with a 49-point triple-double.
He's so good.
I love Jokic. I think he's the best player in the NBA right now.
I don't know if I can argue.
I've been arguing with my friends about lately. So the argument is that the Nuggets can't win an NBA championship even if they were fully healthy with Jokic as their star player, because he's just too susceptible to the pick and roll defense in the playoffs, and that'll hold him back from ever being one of the best players and or elite. I don't feel like I agree with that. I don't know.
There's a little bit to that with the big man. I mean, you see it with Rudy Gobert.
Rudy
who
Gobert
is a,
especially. I mean, he got...
Right, but he's a great defender. I mean, he's the best defensive player in the league, and, he gets right off the court whenever you see teams go, and just try to stretch them out and shoot threes. Yep. I will say what Jokic has going that Rudy Gobert doesn't, and which is why I don't know if I can put Jokic in this category, is Jokic is good enough to, absolutely punish a small ball lineup on the other end.
Absolutely.
You can't guard him with was it Nick Clack? Not Nick Claxton. Who was the guy? Trey Mann. Like Trey Mann.
Oh yeah.
Was who was abusing Rudy Gobert in their playoff series last year? Like if Trey Mann's on the court against Jokic, like Jokic is going to score 70 points and grab 40 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Like you can't treat him to the same degree. Now, can the Nuggets win a championship? I don't know. They need Jamal Murray to come back.
Yeah, I mean, if they were healthy, I think they could.
They need Michael Porter Jr. to be good because that's a lot of money they have spent and invested in this roster.
Absolutely.
That, you know, isn't giving any type of impact, and who knows when they will again. It's basically just Jokic and Aaron Gordon and like a couple of, you know, cast-offs. So, no, I don't think they can win a championship this year.
I guess, like, if I don't think they can win a championship. I just don't think Jokic would be the reason that they couldn't.
Like, Jokic is the best player in the league. Like, or he is a top-five player. He is, you know, Teflon as far as I'm concerned. I mean, his offense is top five in the league. His defense is top five in the league. He is maybe the best two-way player in the league when you look at the metrics.
You think he should, you know, I know voter fatigue is obviously a real factor, but do you think he should win the MVP this year instead of maybe Steph at this point?
At this point, I think Steph has come back to the pack because Steph has been slumping and, you know, been a little inconsistent. The problem Jokic is going to run into is, I mean, they're 23-20. Like it's not baseball. Like you can win MVP as we've seen with Mike Trout and basically be under 500 because they just care more about the stats than winning. They realize like there's so much more that goes into winning. And to be fair, like it's harder to impact winning in baseball than it is basketball when
When the Angels have had no starting pitching until Shohei Ohtani
and you only
this year.
And you only bat one every nine times. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Versus you can impact every play in basketball. I don't think it's voter fatigue. I just think Jokic, like they're just not going to win enough games.
Who are your three right now? Is it like
the three
Steph,
MVPs?
Jokic and Ja, or is someone else above Ja?
Well, that's Steph was there. Steph seems to be fading back. To me, it's probably not going to be fair, but I just can't take Ja seriously as an MVP candidate whenever they were like 10-1 without him. Or 9-1, whatever it was, whenever they, you know, he gets hurt and they go on a pretty big win streak and kind of fix their season. I know he's came back and has, you know, integrated himself and they've still been really good. And I don't have a problem with him getting votes. I just don't think he can be in that same class. And another great game for him last night, 33 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds as he went up against Giannis, who another monster night for him, 33 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists. Like, to me, it's Giannis, it's Jokic. I think after last night, and when you really look around, like, the Sixers are okay. The Sixers have survived getting nothing from their second-best player, like, nothing at all. Like, he hasn't played. They haven't traded him. And Embiid still has them right there, only 2.5 games out of the one seed. And, again, had a 50-point performance last night. So I think Embiid is going to have some momentum and get put in the conversation. And I also wonder, Cam, do you think Embiid's performance so far this year, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 50% from the field, 37.5% from three. Like, to me, this should put more pressure on the Sixers to be like, man, like, I know we don't want to sell Ben Simmons cheap, but is it not better to get something for him? Something that could give us a boost? Because if we get two just good players,
it could elevate that.
Like, apparently the Sixers weren't interested in a trade with the 76 with the Kings that were going to give them both De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton.
Wow.
Yeah, for me, like, De'Aaron Fox is better than Ben Simmons in the first place, and I would take that package.
Okay. I disagree strongly there about Fox being better. I don't think Fox is very good.
I'm just very low on Simmons, I guess.
Okay.
And maybe I haven't watched a lot of Kings this year.
I think Halliburton.
Fox, taking a step back.
I think Halliburton's pretty good. Would be a perfect really like number two, like because the Sixers, you know, without Ben Simmons, have kind of found like, you know what, Tyrese Maxey, pretty good point guard. We can win with him. And if you give him a two guard like Halliburton there on the side, like that makes them deeper. And then you give, you know, De'Aaron Fox, and maybe Maxey goes to the bench. I don't know, but something like that, or just anything, like getting two just rotation players, me, would maybe put the Sixers over the top in the East, because if you look at the East right now, Charlie, it's the Bulls.
The Bulls, the banged-up Bulls, the banged-up Nets, and the Miami Heat, who are now having to figure out how to integrate all their original players into the lineup.
And the Bucks, you know, I'm still going to get
the Bucks too. I forgot about
them. I'm still going to give the Bucks credit. They need, like, to get healthy, but, you know, they got Giannis, and he's still the king of the East until he's knocked down, but I'm not scared of the Bulls. The Heat, I mean, the Sixers team would probably think they could go toe-to-toe with the Heat, you know, with the way Embiid's playing right now.
They beat them two nights ago.
And that is the Heat's major weakness, is that they don't have a big man. Like, I know Bam is good and athletic, but, like, They have nobody that they could put out against Embiid.
Like, you don't think Bam can guard Embiid?
No. I just think the weight and the height difference is too much. Perhaps. Like, if Embiid wanted to go down the block, like, the Heat have no answer. Like, they have no big man on the roster, right? Like, their backup big is who?
Right now, it's, like, Omar Yurcevin.
Right, okay. So, I guess that guy has kind of popped up out of nowhere. So, maybe they could at least get, like, 10 minutes of him trying to bang with Embiid. But, like, they don't have a center on the team.
Can Embiid guard Bam's athleticism, you think? Probably, but...
I don't know. Depends if Bam's hitting his jumper or not. Like, if Bam can go back out and hit his 18-foot jumper, then probably not. But, like, yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you look at the East, if I'm the Sixers, I'm like, man, like, this version of Embiid, this is what we dreamed of with the process.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Getting, like, a full-fledged top-five player that on any given night, he is one of the guys that you can make the claim is the best player in the league.
We do also have Dwayne Dedman. Who's like 7 foot 250.
Yeah.
Who's
he used
like
to be a Hawk.
Deadman,
decent
He can at least give some minutes. He's like no one's going to stop Embiid is the thing.
Chris Silva has given us like decent defensive minutes, but I mean he's more of a power forward, more of a four.
The Nets, of course, we know have no center. Like I mean they got you know Claxton. He's not going to be able to like you know bang with Embiid and the only like the biggest matchup they might have to avoid would be like the Cavs who have like Allen and Mobley and like you know. Could throw a bunch of size out there, but like everyone else, I guess the Bulls with Vucevic, but like he's not a defensive guy at all. My point being,
the Hawks
like
with Capella.
Until we get back even in the play-in pitcher cam, I can't talk about the Hawks. Hey, although we have one
two in a row. That's how you start.
Well,
you gotta start somewhere
now.
You gotta start a streak somewhere.
Be careful, big boy. You guys are coming down to the ATL on Friday, and by the way, the Hawks have won two home games in a row.
Yeah, bring it to
we've
me.
We've also won two in a row.
Sure, but
cool.
That's cool. Good
Jimmy
job,
Butler
buddy.
Getting thrown out last night, lighting a fire under his team.
Ooh.
It is nice when a player does that.
I love it.
But, yeah, Cam, I'm sorry. I can't put the Hawks there. Although, Okongwu could probably guard him.
Oh,
the
he
way
definitely could,
shut down Karl-Anthony Towns last night and Giannis the game before.
Karl-Anthony Towns is soft.
But there are a handful of guys that you can make the claim for best player in the league on any given night. Giannis... I mean, Durant's out right now, hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Embiid, is that it? Jokic, I'm putting Jokic there too.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? Like the
claims for best player in the league?
Just like that you can actually say, like not top five, not top ten, but just like the actual like alpha of the league,
you
the actual number
maybe
one.
Maybe make an argument for Steph.
I don't think you can. Like, I just don't think Steph can play the defense, and I don't think Steph has as much of a – Can like
I'm saying you can maybe make the argument for it. Like
I think you can make the case that he's the best offensive player.
Yeah,
but like I mean, the guys I mentioned, Embiid, Giannis, and Jokic, all can like take over a game defensively
still,
as well.
Yeah. Can you still make the argument for LeBron, or is that time passed?
If it got to a playoff series, and like LeBron was completely locked in and focused, I think LeBron could be the best player in the league. But like, I don't think he can be like on this Lakers team, and I don't think he can do it for the regular season. But sure, maybe he still has that ceiling that he can hit it. Feels like he can't go quite as high as these other guys anymore, but, you know, he's still LeBron. He's still the smartest basketball player in the league. So maybe add him. Am I missing anybody, Cam? Like, I feel like there's five guys at most.
No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there.
I don't think you can make the case for anybody else. Like, just going down, I'm just looking at the points per game score. You know, usually that's going to be the top of the league. Like, Durant, I said, LeBron, Giannis, and Embiid. Like, those are my four right there that I can make the claim. And then I throw in Jokic. Those are the five guys I look at and say, any given night, they can be the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Steph can't do it. DeRozan can't do it. Trae Young can't do it. Donovan Mitchell can't. Tatum can't. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are your five. James Harden ain't got it anymore.
Yeah. No, I agree with those five. I agree with that five for sure.
So if I'm the Sixers, man, like we got to do something.
Just add something. Like there's got to be a way you can upgrade at least like – Shake Milton coming off the bench or something like that, you know?
Just get two rotation players. It's not like Ben Simmons is coming back, man. It's over. He's gone.
Like you got George Niang and Shake Milton come off your bench. I'm sure you could upgrade those
Tyrese
two guys.
Halliburton.
Yeah, easily. And I think he's a great player.
That was my takeaway last night. It's just like I feel bad for Jokic that you know his teammates have abandoned him. Jamal Murray's still with the ACL, and Michael Porter Jr.'s back may never heal. And like Embiid has that performance, and you look around like, man, like they're so close to finally like breaking through, and they just don't have a sidekick for him because Ben Simmons is gone. And, like they keep being too stingy with this trade. At a certain point, you just got to make a move.
Yep.
If you're missing football, well, guess what? You can get some action tonight on basketball. Thursdays can still be entertaining with the NBA on TNT FanDuel special. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Thursday. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay, Charlie, on any NBA on TNT game. Cam, what are the NBA on TNT games tonight?
That is a very good question.
We have a good one. We have one good one at the very beginning. The morning, the first one is the
Suns and the Mavericks are the first one.
Suns Mavericks at 7:30. That's a really good game. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks have been pretty good this year.
They've been good lately.
The Suns continue to be, you know, carry over their success from last year's postseason, last year's regular season as well. So find you a same game parlay.
Have you seen the max unders trend right now that's sweeping sports gambling?
I have not.
It's where you make a same game parlay, pick one player from that game, and then take all their lowest alternate unders and go under on all of them.
Okay.
I love to do that for FanDuel's TNT Thursdays because you can just get your $10 back if you lose and then just pick a player, pick them to go under on everything, and $10 pays out like a grand.
No, they're not going to pay out a grand on that.
Pays out a lot. No, like they consistently pay out a lot because, I mean, you're betting on them to just not have a statistical game at all.
Yeah. So you're saying pay out so to take their lowest thing and then say under?
Their under rebounds, assist, points – take the lowest possible alternate under.
Okay. And then just hope they
and then
just
put them
do
all
nothing.
Together and then just, you know, maybe they get thrown out, maybe they have a bad night, and
maybe
if
they get
hits,
hurt,
you win an absurd amount.
You're just hoping everyone sprains their ankle.
It works.
Okay. Who are you suggesting in the Mavericks and Suns game? Porzingis?
Yes. That would actually be a pretty
is he playing tonight. Just
that
take
would be
the
a decent
candidate
to just
take
I don't see him listed on unders. Player props.
Okay, I was going to say, I know he's been banged up. So, all right, try the max under, same game parlay. If you win, Charlie's going to say you get a grand, which I thought you were saying the highest. Take the under on all their highest, but you're saying take the under on the lowest. That probably is paying
lowest.
A grand. If you win, you keep the cash. But if you lose, you still get your $10 back. If you win, you get your cash plus $10 back. That's what same-game parlays are, and that's what the risk-free NBA on TNT Thursday night same-game parlay will do for you. It's a perfect way to turn a small bet into a big-time score, and win or lose, you're guaranteed to get your $10 added back to your account. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. It's easy to use. It's easy to register and deposit. Getting paid is fast and painless. Live betting, whenever you see a game trending the way you like it, or your team gets off to a bad start, you know you're a second-half team, go ahead and take advantage of that. And when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. Get $10 back every Thursday, win or lose, with TNT Thursdays. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS and get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. Or with risk-free bet, just put on the Titans to win the AFC. Boom, $1,000 to win, you know, $3,400, $3,300.
Wow.
That'd be great. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Back on the program, our Billy Stats asked a question that I kind of find fascinating. I see him talking about it on Twitter.
Okay.
Rank the top five SEC basketball coaches in order.
Oh.
See, that's something I already have on deck. I just in my own notes app, I just constantly have a weekly updating tier rankings, power rankings, and coaches power rankings.
You've been waiting.
So I've been waiting for him to fire that tweet.
All right, let's go. Give us Charlie's top five.
Top five?
SEC basketball players. Cam, please get the drums. Hold on. Let Cam get the drums. Right. Start at five, obviously.
Right. Number five.
At number five.
Wait for the drums to play.
I gotta put the headphones on.
All right, I'll play them one more time for you. Here you go. All right.
Number five.
At number five. everyone's favorite.
That's not how this works. When the drum roll stops, you got to say the name, and then you go into your spiel. So I'll be like, hey, coming in at number five, da-da-da-da-da, boom, and then you're like, Carrot Top. And
I was saying his name.
No, you didn't. You started to go, well, everyone's favorite, blah, blah, blah. No, you got to get the name first, and then you give your analysis.
That was part
of
his
name.
When
you read an article and you're doing a list, what is at the top of, like, the section? It says number five.
It was me just saying his name, John.
It says number five with the name and then, like, the explanation under there. Cam,
You didn't even let me finish my breath.
I'm trying to teach you how to do it. I'm trying to teach you how to do it. So whenever the drums stop, the first thing I want to hear your mouth say is the name of the coach.
Then you can say everybody's favorite.
Right. Then you can go in and, like, do your little spiel about him. Number five, da 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 da, boom. Number five, Eric Musselman.
Everyone's favorite, Will Wade. Will Wade at number five.
Everyone's favorite what?
Everyone's favorite beer-bellied cheater, Will Wade.
That's not even a beer belly.
It's a little bit of a beer belly. He's got the beer belly bloat. He'd make the switch to White Claw.
Is that beer belly? That's not
he's,
what I think
he's
of
been
beer
getting
belly.
A little tubbier.
I know he's got that belly, and like he's got a it's a very weird look. It's like he doesn't have any hips. It's a very strange body shape.
It's but beer
I
belly bloat.
I just don't think of it as beer belly, but maybe it is.
He can coach as good as he can throw a tantrum. he's very easy to hate, but if you're LSU, I'm sure you love him. He's been good at UTC, good at VCU, good at LSU. He has his teams that play just the really nice, controlled level of chaos, and it works for him. He narrowly edges Eric Musselman and Rick Barnes for that number five spot.
Okay. Number four.
Number four, John Calipari. Calipari. I think some people might find that a little too low for him. However, I think his greatest strengths are as a recruiter, and yes, that is taken into coaching, but my rankings are more from a coaching-specific standpoint, and I think there have been times that he has failed to elevate his talent the way that maybe it could have been elevated. The fact that he hasn't had more success given the rosters that he has is kind of a catch-22 because he's built great rosters, which makes him a valuable coach, but then he hasn't always gotten the best out of those rosters, which then takes away from his coaching. Still a very good coach. The SEC is full of great coaches, and being at number four is a good place to be. That's where I have Calipari.
Been to six Final Fours, 4-0 Matt Kentucky. Granted, hasn't been to one since 2015, though. He needs to get back. He needs to get back. Number three.
This is going to shock some people. Number three, Buzz Williams. Okay. I have him as the third best coach.
I am shocked. Buzz?
Buzz.
At number three?
And that.
What?
Shut up.
To infinity and beyond.
That's not necessarily, you know, that's not an overreaction to his hot 15-2 start. I would have put him there at the beginning of the year. I would have put him there last year. Obviously, he inherited a tough situation, so the results at A&M have not necessarily shown yet. But if you just look at the work that he's done in his career at Marquette, at Virginia Tech, and now what he's starting to do with his Texas A&M program, to me, I just think from a pure coaching perspective, he might be the best the SEC has to offer, or close to. I think I am a huge Buzz guy, always have been. I love Buzz Williams, and I think he is a phenomenal coach.
Well, if you like him so much, you should marry him.
Maybe I will.
Do we think Texas A&M is going to have the same boost in the basketball program as they did with the football program with recruiting? Like,
I mean, it's possible.
They're going to spend any of that money on Buzz's boys as well?
I don't know if there's any money
left over.
They're
obviously not shy about spending money, so I'm assuming they will.
They did blow that lead against Kentucky, though.
I thought that I said yesterday they were going to beat Kentucky outright. I thought it was going to hit. You know, I looked at it when I had a little break working last night. I saw that they were winning, and then I saw the final score and was disappointed. Yeah. But, you know, Ty got into foul trouble last night. That certainly hurt, too. However, I love Buzz. I think that he will get A&M to a perennial top 25 team sooner rather than later, a team that, you know, will reach even greater heights more than likely, unless he gets hired away somewhere else before he can reach that point. Buzz, to me, is just a phenomenal coach and someone that there are, what, 363 schools in Division I basketball right now, maybe a little bit more because you added, like, Cal Baptist and one other school in the last 2 years, but out of those 363 schools, I find it hard to believe that there are more than like 15 that would not take Buzz Williams right now as their head coach over who they currently have.
Number two.
Number two.
Wait till the drums.
Sorry. Sorry, John. Number two, Nate Oates.
Okay.
People maybe overrated him a little bit last year because it was a down SEC year, and he got to run through the SEC. Did not play a very tough out-of-conference schedule last year. However, if you just look at what he was able to do at Buffalo beforehand and what he's been doing at Alabama with a pretty quick turnaround, Nate Oates does deserve credit right now as the second-best coach in the SEC.
Number one, I imagine I know the answer, but drum me.
Yeah, drum me. Yeah, Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
And that's not fun to say. It's not a fun person to put number one because it just kind of hurts. You know, I'm not one of those Tennessee fans that's bring back Bruce. I love Bruce. Bruce is my idol. But, I mean, he is just definitively the best coach in the SEC, in my opinion. He wins where he goes. He's charismatic. Yeah. He energizes fan bases, athletic programs alike. And he stacks his team with talent. He knows how to win. I mean, he just is the best coach.
All right. Okay. So, I mean, I think you got Nate Oates a little too high. I just don't understand what world you can have Nate Oates ranked ahead of Calipari. But
that's fair.
I think Calipari.
I'm a little bit more of a Cal hater, I guess.
That's fine. To me, I think, I mean, are they still not, like, clearly number one and two, Cam? Like, do you have
Cal at high?
Yeah, do you have Cal in the top two? I mean, is he, like, has his star faded that far?
Yeah, I had, like, if I was doing this, I had him around four or five as well.
Do you have your list ready or no?
Yeah.
The SEC.
You don't have to drum it. Just go fast.
SEC is also just, like, the premier conference for coaches right now.
Sure.
So
I mean,
number four is good.
The SEC did what you're supposed to do, which is take all your football money and start, you know, mm-hmm. putting it back into the basketball, and that's what's happening. They went out and hired a bunch of coaches, and I think the SEC does have the best group of coaches.
Yeah. I had Musselman 5, Cal 4, Oates 3, Wade 2, Pearl 1 would be my top five.
Who was number two?
Will Wade.
Okay.
Just off of.
Also fair.
Quick, just kind of.
Where do you have my guy Buzz?
I got Buzz hanging around, like, right outside there. I think it'd be an argument for basically kind of between him and Barnes kind of being there. Like, I don't know. I think you can still look at the whole body of work and kind of have Rick Barnes hanging around the outside there. I wouldn't put him top five. I think I'd probably have Buzz sitting right above him at six, and then I'd probably put Barnes there, but yeah, that's probably how I'd do it.
Okay.
I understand that I am higher than pretty much everyone on Buzz and lower than most on Calipari.
I don't think you are. I mean, I think the Calipari thing maybe, but I think people would have Buzz as a borderline top five coach. You had him at what, number
three?
Number three. Well, I don't think it has him that high, so yeah, maybe you are a little bit higher, but I mean, he's got a good resume, and mm-hmm. he is finally starting to put it together at A&M, and like I said, I wonder if they will follow suit and start getting the big-time recruits in and paying for them and the NIL stuff because they could become a power.
I think absolutely. They
I'm a little surprised you didn't have Barnes on in your top five.
I have him at seven.
Okay. It's not even in the top six.
Yeah,
it would have made your six-pack.
Yeah. I have Musselman above him, then Rick Barnes. Then it gets worse with Kermit Davis, Frank Martin, Mike White, Jerry Stackhouse, Ben Howland, Konzo Martin, and Tom Crean.
It seems like there's seven good coaches.
Yeah.
And like maybe you could still say Frank Martin's a good coach.
There are seven good coaches with
seven good coaches.
Kermit
Frank
Davis
Martin.
And Frank Martin on the bubble.
I don't know if I'm ready. I mean, Kermit hasn't done anything to make me think he's a good coach. I mean,
Kermit,
at Ole Miss.
Kermit's previous stops
sure.
make me still put him as a bubble good coach because I think Ole Miss is just a weird situation.
I think he's been there long enough now to have a better team, though.
Yeah, and
in basketball, you know,
just,
like you just have
he's
to
he's dealt with weird stuff. I mean, he did get Jarquez Joyner, who was a top three, top five point guard in the last class. And, mm-hmm. You know, I guess he has some decent talent, but he should have built that roster better, and he should probably be having more success than he is. I just still, I guess, like him.
Okay. Mine would have gone with probably Bruce, Cal as my one and two. I think it's close between the next three, really. I mean, I think you could put Oates – Musselman and Wade in any order there. I put Buzz probably at six, personally.
That's the thing where I'd have him.
But, like, my top five, I think I'm pretty firm in that.
I think they're all just so close together that, like, you can – I mean, all three of us – all three of our lists, so you can make a pretty good argument for all three of them.
Yeah. I don't know who I'd put in order between Wade, Musselman, and Oates. Oates has only done it 1 year at a big level, on a big level, on a big stage.
Yeah, but he did have what Buffalo got all the way in the top 15 with Massengale.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. And I know that usually translates better, you know, over from, you know, basketball than it does football. But Musselman's been pretty damn good too.
Right.
And Will Wade's been pretty damn good too. Yeah, so, like, right. I think all five of those are really, really good, is my point.
Right. Yeah.
So that was an interesting question. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Got a little bit of a baseball report slash rumor. I've got to be honest. I've never seen this guy be right about anything, but he is a
Nightingale with the big capital L at the end.
I've never seen Bob Nightingale be right about anything. I've seen him be wrong about most things, but he did post that, I guess his report is that, I don't know if this, have you seen this anywhere else, Charlie, that Nashville and Montreal are the MLB's top two expansion targets.
So Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, the lead Rays beat reporter, reported breaking news this morning that the Rays season sharing plan with Montreal has been killed by the MLB, and now they are back searching for a full-time home.
So basically,
the Rays were going to split home games in Tampa Bay and in Montreal, and they were going to be a two-city team.
Wow.
Yeah. And the MLB was just like, yeah, that's
so baseball's
not
like, no.
Happening.
Baseball likes monogamy.
Good for them. I was kind of into the idea of opening things up and seeing where it would take you. The relationship needed to be spiced up a little bit. I was open to the idea because obviously it isn't working out at Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's not going well, and that it's actually sad because that franchise deserves better.
Yeah.
The franchise, I mean, it used to be a laughing stock, Charlie, probably before, like, right when you were being born. Like, in the early 2000s, the Devil Rays were...
2008 is right when they, like, made the switch into becoming a perennial.
Yep. 2008, I mean, that was basically, the switch.
That
like,
was
right
the first or worst year with Longoria, I believe.
David Price was still coming out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But before that, they were a laughing stock. But really, from that moment, they've been pretty damn good, all except... What, 1 or 2 years since then?
Yeah, I mean, and they're also just like the textbook organization for how to build a roster without money. I mean, what they are able to consistently accomplish with their retooling and redeveloping of their roster, continuing to stack young players and win is pretty remarkable, especially when pretty much all the other great teams have payrolls that are approaching, you know, close to a quarter mil, half mil.
I mean, they probably – I mean, I still think the poster boy is, you know, the Oakland A's. They had a damn movie
right.
made
I mean,
it.
They were the original.
Right. I still think they probably – I mean, they haven't made a World Series, though, and I don't think they've won a damn playoff series. So, like, I mean, they don't get the notoriety, I guess, that the A's do. But, yeah, the Rays do it better. So when they say expansion, though
– not quite
to me,
the
that,
same.
That makes me think, yeah, just
another
like
team?
Baseball wants to add two teams to get to 32 teams, you know, like the NFL, like the NBA has talked about. Not so much relocating from Tampa Bay to Nashville, although, I mean, I think that would be a perfect storm of bringing a really good franchise to a growing city that has – I don't know how the fan base would travel. I know a lot of people already in Nashville have teams. Now, granted, I do think most of those fan bases have teams in the National League. So I think it'd be very easy to adopt the Rays as an American League team and, you know, not feel like you're cheating on the Braves or Cardinals or Cubs or, you know, whomever, Reds. So I think it makes sense from that standpoint. It'd be really exciting for Nashville because, again, they'd be getting a winning franchise.
Yeah, it'd be a home run for that city.
If the MLB expands, I think Nashville – more than likely gets a team. They have a foundation in place already with the Nashville Stars and some leadership there. If a team from the East Coast or specifically the Rays were to relocate, I also think Nashville would be one of the heavy favorites. However, if a team from the West Coast, specifically the Oakland A's, who are at ends meet basically with O.co Coliseum and their stadium, there's talk about them relocating. If a West Coast team were to relocate, they would go to Las Vegas. Specifically the A's. I think the A's have a pretty decent chance to be in Las Vegas in the next decade. I would not want a team in Nashville for just my own selfish reasons, because it would just make me feel like a terrible person rooting for the Nationals with a team in my own hometown. Mm. I would just feel lack of loyalty to my state and to my city, but I also would not be a Nashville fan.
Not even if they're in the American League?
No, I don't respect people that root for two teams for the most part.
I feel like baseball separates everything. Like, they're still like the major sport that actually separates, like,
yeah.
You know, you have different MVPs for each league. You got different rules. So it's almost like a different sport. I understand what you're saying, but I do think that, like, you would have people still going to
watch
the games.
I think a lot of people would. Like, people would get on board and it would be a good thing. I'm just saying, selfishly, I would not. I guess I could, like, I would have casual rooting interest, be like, oh, that's cool. Go them.
Yeah.
But they would get a lot of support. And you're right. I mean, the AL, again, most people in Nashville are Braves, Cubs, or Cardinals fans, all NL teams. Unless they added the Nashville team as a cross-divisional rival where they would play every year. In the inter-squad series, you play like once every 3 years, 4 years, 3 years. So, you know, they wouldn't even really see their teams play the Nashville Stars or whatever they would be very often.
Yeah. Could be some big news. Could be nothing. Like I said, I haven't seen that Nightingale guy be right about almost anything.
Ever.
So. It's usually loud wrong in the comments. It's like, so Charlotte and Vegas it is, I guess. But I know baseball has been talked about in Nashville for a while. I think a lot of people probably feel like you, Charlie. They'll just kind of look and say, eh, we already have a team. The Braves are 2 hours
especially
on the
road. With the Braves just winning a World Series, it makes it that much harder to get some of those fans.
Yeah. And when you talked about Nashville, you're talking about the Nashville Sounds, right? You said Stars, or is there a never?
There is a different... There is already an organization set up, the Nashville Stars. They have leadership in place to take over an MLB team and become the Nashville Stars. They have a plan for a stadium.
Because the Sounds are there too, but it's a different thing. Okay,
yeah.
Because it was a little confusing when I heard it the first time, but I assume that's what you mean, like an ownership group basically in place.
Yeah, there's a group in place. They have like a president set up and all this other stuff with the Nashville Stars.
So that would be just from an expansion team. Perspective.
Yeah.
Not, you know,
I don't know if they
got obviously the Rays move.
If they got the Rays, they still could become the Nashville Stars.
Right, but you would want, I mean, you'd want Tampa Bay to keep all of their leadership in place because they're a really good organization. Like, you give them some money.
From that aspect, yes.
Right. I wouldn't want them to have a new front office. I would want the Rays to basically come here and, you know, with their farm system. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We've got some this or that coming up. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.